title of our lesson today is Two Baskets of Figs. And our devotional and background study comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 40. And that says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, but prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I have sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask them, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord, of the host of God, of our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have not sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the cities that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten." Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class. Lesson text takes up in the 24th chapter of Jeremiah, and it'll be verses 1 through 10. Now, Jeremiah has given a pretty grim outlook for this people here. And there's some hope here in the 24th chapter for the ones that will turn to the Lord. The 24th chapter in the first verse. "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil. If they cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them, and not pull them down, and I will plant them, and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, So will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Now this is the words of the Lord through Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel has reached a point that they have been carried away captive because of their sins. And the Lord has laid out his case here in the 23rd chapter that they wouldn't hearken unto him. The prophets prophesied falsely. They prophesied lies. And I believe this was, speaking of prophets in general, there were a few that prophesied the truth as Jeremiah, and the people refused to hear Jeremiah. A lot of bad things happened to Jeremiah. He was cast in prison and slapped around a bit because they didn't want to hear. They wanted to hear good things, pleasant things, and not that because of their sins they were to be carried away. And so at this point they have been carried away, and Jeremiah is given this vision that he might take this word unto this people that has been carried away. And that word is a word of hope to the ones that were trying to draw near to God, that were repenting of their sins, that were acknowledging what was wrong and the reason that they had been carried away. And that word is in the sixth verse, or the fifth verse, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah. He's going to remember his people, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. That is, that they might be cleansed and healed. Because had they stayed in that land, that polluted land that they were in, where people were hardening their hearts, things were going to go bad for them, even worse than in this land of the Chaldeans. And I think the Chaldeans kind of had a rule and a law, and that rule and that law allowed God's people to be protected. Whereas the nation of Israel was turning its back upon God. And you can read over in Jeremiah in different places what happened with Jeremiah. And that was going to be the fate for God's people had they stayed in that land and allowed to continue on. They were going to become persecuted by this people that called themselves children of God. And so it was because of this, I believe, that it was for their good. That is, the ones that were truly worshiping God, it was for their good that they were carried away into the land of the Chaldeans. And he says in the sixth verse, For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole hearts. That is, the people that still have some bit of righteousness, some desire in their hearts to worship God, a desire to know God, to know what His will is, and to serve Him. This people is going to be watched over in this land that they've been taken care of, and things will go well for them.
And we know, I believe it's in Romans, it says all things work together for those for the good for those that love God. And that's essentially what he's saying here is those people that love him, he's going to take care of them. But the other people, that's not going to be the case. And this is the people that's caused them to be taken away in the first place, that has hardened their hearts and turned from God and gone after the after Baal. And that's in the 8th verse. As for the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, and he names names here, Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. Now, those that dwell in the land of Egypt, no doubt there were some people that had gone out to be in the land of Egypt, but I think more importantly that would be a people that's spiritually dwelling in Egypt, that's got their hearts upon the things of the world, all about material things in this world and living this life and enjoying and getting a hold of things this life and turn their back upon spiritual things. That's the people that's dwelling in Egypt that's truly in danger. You know, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be a separated people. They were supposed to be a separated people back then as well. And it wasn't necessarily that living in Egypt was bad, but rather partaking in Egypt is where the sin was. And he says, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, not for their good, for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Just the opposite of this other people, where all things work together for the good of those that love God, all things are going to work together for the harm of this people that has turned from God. Now, the Israelites had, many of them as a nation, they had, it says in the 27th verse of the 23rd chapter, it says, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, that is, gone after a false god. And then, but he speaks on also about the prophets that are prophesying lies and telling lies in his name, saying the Lord has sent me. So you've kind of got two separate things going on here, both of which are wrong and evil and sinful. One is prophets that are actively promoting another god other than the Lord their God. And then you've got these prophets which are saying they are of the Lord, and yet they're prophesying lies. It speaks somewhere about woe unto those that say peace, peace, when there is no peace. That is, they were wanting to tell the people what people wanted to hear in order to be promoted among the people to gain power, prestige, just good feelings all the way around, not to tell the people the truth, not to lead the people to repentance, not to lead the people to serve God. That's what these false prophets were doing. And, you know, when Jeremiah stood up and prophesied about what was to come, that they were going to be taken over and led away into captivity, they didn't like that at all. They didn't want to hear that. And one of the things they said was, no, we're God's people. Well, that's not going to happen. You're saying God's people are going to stumble and fall and be taken away. And no, that can't happen because we're God's chosen people. That's what they were saying. They weren't acknowledging that they'd done wrong and that God would chastise his people when they did wrong. They would not acknowledge that. And they claimed to put their trust in God. They didn't, but that's what they said. And they said, because you're prophesying evil things about us, that is, bad things are going to happen to us, you must not be of God. You must be an evil person. That's what they were basically saying about Jeremiah. Now, that kind of got me to thinking, what would happen today if one of us went out and we talked just to the people of the United States, and we said, because of sin, this nation's going to fall. What would the people in general, what would their response be? Now, this people's response was, no, we're many of them said, no, we're a nation of God. God's going to protect us. He's going to watch over us and take care of us. Would that be the response that we would get from the people of the United States? I don't know if it would be or not. I don't know. I'm just speaking of the in general population of the United States. Do they acknowledge that God is what's taken this nation and brought it where it is as far as wealth and blessing it? Or would they say, just the people in general, would they say, no, we've got the strongest military in the world. Our military is going to protect us. The point in all that is, you know, even though this people in the nation of Israel did wrong, many of them still, they felt like they would be protected because they were God's people. They didn't acknowledge that when God's people do wrong, they are punished. They wouldn't acknowledge that. But they did say that God's people are protected people. I don't even think that the United States in general would say that God's people is protected people. I just get that feeling that they wouldn't even acknowledge that this is a Christian nation anymore. So the thing there is, how much further have we fallen than what this people has fallen at this time? I'm afraid we've gone further than they've gone in many respects. And we can expect as a nation to be punished in a worse fashion than what they were punished. Just as a general rule there, when you sin greatly, you can expect great punishment, great chastisement. Now, the thing is, we have this sixth verse here that says, "And I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and will plant them and not pluck them up." The residue of people, the few people that will hold on and turn to God and acknowledge their sin, God will hear that. And I think that's the case throughout all ages and will be the case until the end of time when God says time shall be no more. You know, the day before that happens, if there's a person that will turn to God and repent, whether it's a saved person or a lost person, because God's people need to repent. This people needed to repent at this time. They wouldn't. They didn't want to hear that. They wanted to stand and say, no, because of who we are, because our father Abraham was Abraham, that because of that, we're going to be protected. That's what they wanted to say. And so they wouldn't repent. But I think there were a few that said, you know, we didn't do what God wanted us to do. We didn't follow him. We didn't listen. We our fathers persecuted prophets. They were told all these things. It was laid out clearly for them. And Jeremiah himself laid it out for them. And I think a few of them probably heard. And the reason I think that is because of the promises that are given here, that the ones that still had the hope. So that leads me to believe that there were a few of them here in Jeremiah and the other prophets that were still prophesying the truth. And I think that'll be the case up until the end of time, that whether it's a sinner or a saint that turns to God in repentance, God will hear and he'll watch over that person and protect them, and things will be well with them, no matter what the surroundings might be, no matter what country they may have been taken away into. And the same case as with the evil figs that it speaks of in verse 8, which are so evil that everything's going to go bad for them. There's not going to be anything happy and positive in their life. Is the impression that I'm getting there. And again, that's going to be the case and is the case today. Those people that serve God, that seek his word, he'll protect them. He'll look after them and take care of them, even though they may be carried away into another country. These children of Israel, and you notice it says the carpenters and the smiths and the princes being the rulers of Israel, they were taken away captive into Babylon. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't tell the future, but you can rest assured that at some point, God's going to punish an unrepentant people, a people that won't turn to him, that won't acknowledge that they've done wrong, that they've let things slide, that they've gone down the wrong path. When a people refuses to turn back to God, eventually there's going to be a punishment. Now, God is long-suffering. He's willing to give people many chances most of the time. Now, that's not guaranteed. Many chances aren't. You know, that's up to God how long he is going to suffer and allow things to go on. But at some point, he will declare that enough's enough. And we read about that in the Old Testament many times. And it's described in the New Testament when God says, "All right, I'm done. You know, here's the punishment, here's the chastisement, here's the sword, the pestilence, and to be consumed." Then that's what will happen. It doesn't matter whether it's the United States or the Roman Empire or Africa, whatever country it may be. God is not a respecter of persons. And so if this is the case laid out for this people, it'll be the case laid out for people today and for the people next year as well, whatever his people may be, wherever they may be. But there is always forgiveness with God as long as the people will turn back to him. If they will acknowledge their sins and repent, God will forgive. That's all that I've got. Does anybody have any questions, any comments?
One thing I thought of while you were teaching, Terry, was as the world gets more evil, you know, God's people are supposed to be a separate and apart people, like you said. So as the world becomes more evil, if God's people will stay with God, it's going to be more of a difference. You know, we're going to even stand out more, you know, yes. from the world than what we up to this point. And so, you know, I hope that that's, you know, in the days to come, I hope that we're not going to have to suffer persecution like we've heard about. But we're certainly, it's going to become more evident that we're different from the world if we, you know, study with the Lord like we should.
Somewhere when I was studying, I don't remember where it was now, but it talked about someone that went down to Egypt, I'm assuming to escape persecution. And because they did that, they lost their lives. And I think that was a warning to us as God's people to remain separate, because, you know, when they start persecuting us as Christians, as people that stand for the truth, God will protect us. But if we, in an effort to avoid persecution, try to blend in, that's not going to work. It's not going to work for us. We won't get away with that. So our only hope and our only opportunity is through God and to stand up for what's right. If we fail to do that, then we're going to fail. If there's nothing else, let's remember the prayer request that's been made for today and time to pass.
Let me say, it's hard to not be pessimistic with the way our world is, with all the things that are developing, happening. I don't know about the moment, but I know what's Supreme Court did and everything. Sooner or later, one of these days, God's going to call me into it. Mm-hmm. And I think it may be closer than we think.
Yeah. And it is hard not to be pessimistic, like you said. And I think that's where we need to be studying the Bible more, because that's where the hope is. That's where the strength comes from. And when we don't, then it just gets to be more and more of a weight and kind of brings you down and you don't really see any hope in it. So.
But God is still all powerful, and we need to remember that. I'm glad you said that. It is easy. I mean, it just seems like, you know, since the Supreme Court made it just seems like that, I don't know, things have just been darker or gloomier or something, I don't know. But we need to keep in mind that we do have a victory and that we know the one that's all powerful. We know who's going to win and prevail.
There's nothing else. Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this Lord's Day that you bless us with, give us the strength to come out of the house one more time. Thank you, Heavenly. Father, for our church, for the one that makes up this body. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our Sunday school, for the one that teaches the Sunday school lesson. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings.